from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who's never met a dog bed he didn't wish would clean itself. I don't know why that's funny, because it's like, I don't think, I can't see the mechanics of a self-cleaning dog bed that actually works, unless it was a sentient one, and then, no offense, dogs, okay, I can't even say it out loud, because I know dogs will be, but, well, they may, oh, look over there, dogs, but if it was a sentient dog, man, I might just keep that as a pet. Anyway, dogs, over here, who thinks about dog beds and dog mats and these kind of things? These are a few of my favorite things to talk about on Sleep With Me, the podcast, to put you to sleep. And when you're if you could sit up in bed right now before you fall asleep, this is a big thing, before you fall asleep, or tomorrow when your hand hits the fridge, you can find all our sponsors at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. But here you go. Hey, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Pill Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease the loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody. Have you always wanted to cook with Scoots, like a live stream or a personal video where we cook together? Well, check out tonight's sponsor, Green Chef. Because if you're looking for a way you can easily cook delicious meals you can feel good about for your whole family, make cooking less of a chore and more of a fun family experience, well, check out tonight's sponsor, Green Chef, and then share with me and let me know your experience online, like on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, and share with Green Chef too. You can get $50 off your first box of Green Chef by going to greenchef.us/sleep. That's greenchef.us/sleep. And be sure to listen to it. You'll find out more on our website too. But share it with me, and then I'll cook with you. Thanks. There's also a lot of people that help out on this show. Mr. Bard, do you have any idea who helps? Do you have a song about who works so hard to keep the show going?
See the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale.
Thank you, Mr. Bard. Also, Eric and the team at Astound are on our website. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. And you can you can listen to Sleep With Me in your smart speaker. Just say, hey, smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. You can set a sleep timer there. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, time, temperature, scheduling. I mean, anything having to do with scheduling. But like if you're working a second or a third shift, your schedule's changed, you got schedule on the brain. That wasn't in that game. Here's the thing. I didn't think I would talk about this for the intro, but there used to be a board game. It actually wasn't a board game. It was called I can't think of a way to describe it without a opportunity. But it was a physical game. Like if you combine, anyway, let me get back. I'll try to get back to that because I was thinking. Well, we'll get to it in a second. If you're new here, welcome. This is a podcast that goes off topic really fast, but it's also a podcast to be here and to put you to sleep. What I'm going to try to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Also, I think I'll repeat myself accidentally when I get flustered or mixed up. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, rustified meanders, tangents. I'd say maybe once in a while I use some greasy tangents or well-greased tangents. Well-worn metaphors is so well-worn that people say those are a bit worn out, Scoots. A bit like your shoes and your sneakers and your... I'd say, yep, I like to be on the other side of well-worn. Because I don't know. Actually, I just find myself I think there could be an autobiography in there for Gingerbread Press. On the other side of well-worn. There you go. Has Rip Torn wrote a book about Rip Torn's life? Because I could sell that title to you. My life is Rip Torn. Or maybe it could be My Life is a Rip Torn Impersonator. I don't know if there is anybody out there, but that's an option. The other side of well-worn. My life impersonating Rip Torn. Maybe I could do that. Maybe that'll be my fourth or fifth act. Say, what happened to that sleep podcast? Well, Scoots really went, they call it niching down, I believe. He became a Rip Torn impersonator, and as beloved as Rip Torn is, I think his timing was a bit off. And so that's what happened. So yeah, he's out. He may be out there. He did write a book. It was an imaginary book. It was written and published within his imagination. And he was also trying to do a podcast intro, by the way. Oh, thanks for bringing me back there, Scoots. Also, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt myself with myself, but I don't think we can do a Rip Torn impersonation right yet. That's why one day we will. Okay. Anyway, if you're new, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. If you're really new, just kind of sit back and see how it goes. This podcast doesn't work for everybody. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So kind of maybe passively observe it, like a rambling Rip Torn impersonator who's without this. You say, well, you like that would be a way, I guess this is a metaphor for the podcast. You say, well, you're not impersonating Rip Torn. And it's an impressionist, actually. My life was Rip Torn impressionist, and the impersonator are two different things. And they say, okay, yeah, just kick back and wonder about that. Why, wonder why I became a Rip Torn, you know, why I've got that caught up in my brain cycles. So passively kind of observe the podcast, see how it goes. Doesn't work for everybody. For most people, works for it. Takes a few tries. Here's the structure of the show. Starts off with some business. That's how we keep the show going. Then that's all at sleepwithmepodcast.com. Then an intro, which is around 12 to 14 to 13 to 15 minutes, where I try to explain what the podcast is in a verbose way, I'd say, with extra double the verbosity, half the vocabulary, double the verbosity. Hardy heart. I don't even play this time, sometimes, occasionally, extra Rip Torn references. Just because Rip Torn sounds good. Rip Torn's an actor, by the way. But also just a great name. Like, so, Rip Torn is so Rip Torn, you say, I don't even think about it. Until I just say it 50 times. You say, wow, how, like, did you come up with that on the fly? Or did you brainstorm, like, 800 names? And you said, that's the one. Well, you know, I would say probably it was the first one, but it could have been the second one. You say, well, it really gives insight into the human condition, which I'm trying to get at. And I love papyrus. Okay, so the issue, there's an intro where I just talk a lot, and I try to explain what the show is, and I kind of demonstrate what the show is. And you can skip over the intro, but the majority of the listeners use it as they prepare for bed, or, you know, as they're doing their wind down and their teeth brushing and their animal petting and their bombing, you know, palm bombing, elbow bombing, you know, their shoulder padding, not padding, though maybe no shoulder pads in bed. So I'm thinking of like, what if, well, probably don't want to have pajamas with shoulder pads. What about shoulder pillow? No, we'll just call them shoulder pillows. Also, sometimes my brain interrupts me with ideas during the podcast. That's a part of the intro and the whole podcast as a whole. So that's the intro. Then there's some business between the intro and the story. And then there's a bedtime story. Tonight we'll be talking about Star Trek The Next Generation in a way that mildly resembles the original TV show, which, based in a loving appreciation of it. But mostly, you know, say, well, you know, why did Data turn this way? Or what's up with Lore's outfit? Things like that. And so that'll be, and then we'll have some thank yous at the end. So it's a structure show. A couple of things to know if you're new. You don't need to listen to me. You may have figured that out already. May have demonstrated that. I'm just here to keep you company. And that goes with the second part. No pressure to listen. No pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. I make this show, one, because I've been there. Two, because, like, tossing and turning, overthinking, all that, not being able to fall asleep and wondering why, or trying everything and getting frustrated and feeling lonely sometimes. So that's why I want to keep you company, because I've been lonely in the deep, dark night. So this really has a lot of meaning for me, which just now this intimacy just brought me off of my second topic, which I forgot, because I've been there. Forgetfulness is another part of the show. I don't know what I was talking about. I mean, but that's really why I make the show, because I've been there. Why don't you need to listen? Why would it help you fall asleep? I don't know. I guess I was trying to make more. I was trying to go through a list, but that's a real reason I make the show, is because I've been there and I want to help. I don't know. Let me go on to the other metaphor, because I was thinking about that game. Did I give all the background? Yeah, basically, you don't need to listen to me. I'll be here whether you can fall asleep or not. I'll be here to the very end, because they make the show as much as for people to quickly fall asleep if it works for them, as I do for the people that can't sleep. I'll be here till the end, keeping you company. I think that's what I was meaning with that, is like, I'll be here whether you fall asleep fast or not. I'm here for you. But I was thinking about that game, the Operandi game. It was like you take a piece of tweezers, you take a built-in set of tweezers, and you take different things out. I never played the game by the rules. And they'd say water underneath, $1,000 fee. That's the way the ad went. And you do the person you take out of like the funny elbow. And water underneath, $1,000 feet. That was the only one, but it was like a game of like a steady hand. What was they saying? What brought up that game? Something about, like, I was thinking about people like your gray matter. But what if there was another version? That's like the physical health version, an imaginary one. But what if there was one of your emotional and limbic, your lizard and mammalian brains, brain stem, all that other stuff that I know nothing about? You know, you got your thoughts, feelings, and physical sensations sometimes related to your thoughts and feelings. What if there was a mental health version, a fun, positive mental health version? Like you say, okay, can you get the malaise out for 500? And they say, well, I don't know what, I can't identify malaise. I mean, it can identify what it feels like, in my love of saying the word malaise, but I can't find it. And they say, well, that's part of the game. Sounds more like something, sounds like more like it needs to be better developed. Oh, really? Tell me more. Wait, tell me more. Is that what I'm supposed to get out next? No, that's the card I have. It says, tell me more for 500. Oh, which one of us gets 500 points? Oh, tell me more about how you're feeling about who gets the 500 points. Well, I'm feeling like if I'm the one telling you more, I should get the 500 points. But if you tell me where malaise is on this game board, and I can get it out with these, I guess you wouldn't use tweezers because I've never been anywhere. What about a phlebotomy version? That's where you used to study. That could be another version of the game, or that could be the add-on, the phlebotomy. I think that's where you identify, instead of reading someone's palm, you say, well, okay, this little notch in your skull here, you know, tells me you're going to be so sleepy tonight, sleeping so good. But that could be a possible board game, or boring board game. I'm trying to think what else, you know, you do I guess that's malaise. I don't know. I guess in my game, I haven't written anything other than tell me more in malaise for my version, but I could kickstart that. Maybe we could get someone that actually knows how to do that, like Matthew from the Oatmeal or something. I don't know. But so that's a good game pitch. I don't know how that's a metaphor for the podcast, other than the fact that I want to be here to help you. I guess that could be a game that, like, it teaches you some sort of coping strategies or learning. And I don't know if this podcast is really meant to teach you anything, more to validate, really. I don't always say that word right up front. I try to keep it subtextual, but I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I also believe that it sucks that you can't sleep, and I'm sorry. And I'd like to help. Now, as I said, this podcast does not work for everyone, but that's why I make the show. As I said, like, I've been there. Sometimes it's like waking up. Sometimes it's not being able to fall asleep. Sometimes it's like, what the heck? Haven't had caffeine in 18 hours. Why can't I just drift off into dreamland? So that's why I make the show. I've been doing it a while now. And if you're new, give it a few tries and see how it goes. It's no pressure for the podcast to work for you or not. I just like it to help if it can, or to keep you company if it can. I have a contingent of listeners that have very strong sleepless stuff, so they listen all the way to the end. And I have a contingent of listeners that listen during the day that say, hey, I need a little soothing during the day, a little distraction, or when I'm in traffic or whatever. So I'm here. I'm here to try to help. And I guess that's it. I appreciate you coming by and checking the show out or being here night after night. I'm glad I can help. And that's it. I work hard and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and I actually need you to listen to this message. If you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me, if you're new, don't worry about it. But we've got some big decisions with the show on the horizon, so I really, really need your help. If you are a regular listener to Sleep With Me, and it has changed how you sleep, you rely on the show, you like the show, it does something for you, or you feel good about the podcast, you like it, or you count on it, I really got to ask you to take action. So if Sleep With Me means something to you, or you like it, if you can afford to support the show directly, or you're willing to consider up giving up one takeout lunch a month to support Sleep With Me, try out a trial of Sleep With Me Plus and test out Sleep With Me Plus over the 7-day trial and just see, like, see what you think. But I think you'll find you'll be blown away, because there's so many different ways to listen to Sleep With Me and stuff like that. So if you think you can afford to support the show, please do that at Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And if it doesn't make a difference to you, like it's like I can move on to something else if you stop making the show, or you decide to put out way, way less episodes, or you change what you're doing, I totally am fine with that. That's fine. But if Sleep With Me really does make a difference for you, I mean, I love making the show. I don't like being direct, because I usually get way more not nice emails when I'm direct about stuff. But I don't want to put out a message like 3 months from now and be like, you know what, we're changing things up and we've made some hard decisions. I want you to be a part of this decision-making process, because it's really like the other time Sleep With Me's been in this place. It's just taken being direct and saying, hey, if you care about the show, I need you to think about doing something about it. So think about it. It'll be cool. Like, I trust that there's enough of you out there that get so much out of the show, because I've heard from you before. So yeah, check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, or take one of those other actions. And what do you say we get on with the show? All right, everybody, we're talking season 4, episode 3, Brothers. And this is my first lore episode, so it's out of order, but this is my first taste of lore. Not the lovely Aaron Mankey podcast, but the lore Data's brother. And there's also more than one set of brothers in this episode, two young, so it's like A story and a B story. But it's star date 4408-5.7. What year is it now? That's what I put. I looked into the star dates. We'll cover that later. They're on a 2-day liberty on Orgus 2. But a practical joke between the two children that are brothers, the two siblings, did not work out. And Riker's in the role of Dean of Discipline. Also, they said they had an arcade because that's where the practical joke took place. And I Googled it. I couldn't, there's so many, I guess it's such a general thing that I couldn't find any deets on the Enterprise D or whatever arcade. But they did play a laser tag. And that's when, a brother did something, Fruit of a Cove Palm. Kids' parents are on sabbatical. So free childcare, if you're on sabbatical, you could go on sabbatical as a couple without your kids, which sounds pretty sweet. Two kids. Can you imagine the, in a healthy relationship, the L-O-V-E that would be made on sabbatical? You better as well go to that planet that's well known for it. The planet's name that I forgot, but that's where everybody single goes, I think. So both parents are on sabbatical. Think about it, Mr. Potts, or Mr. Pitts is the kid's name. Is it maybe they mean Miss Potts from Beauty and the Beast there to run the sabbatical care. And they said, did you call his parents? They said, oh, yeah, he's totally busted. They're fully aware of the situation. Data was the one who called the parents. And they said, you got to lift your brother's spirits. So the brother, what's his name? Jake, he's the one who, the tricker, not the tricky. He gets on to go apologize to his brother on the elevator with Data. I mean, I would say this kid really needs some time with Troy, too, both kids, which is weird that she was in the episode, but not in his hands-on role. I don't know if the Betazoids only work best with adults. But no, we saw that. But of course, if your parents are on sabbatical without you, you're going to act out. They're 2 days away from Starbase 416. That was also an Eagles song. It wasn't too famous. 2 days to Starbase 416 before this episode. Really a deep track of the Eagles. And speaking of the Eagles, there's music and sound effects as Data has it goes into glitch mode. And there's more music where you say, Data's glitching. And I think the kid was making a face like, are you glitching or are you listening to me? And then the episode opens and Data shows up on the bridge. I don't think he ever left. They go back so soon. And Data goes right to work at Data's terminal. Still glitching, though. Next thing you know, they're at warp 9.1. They say, why are we at warp 9.1? And then Worf's like, are we in a course correction? And then they say, set by whom, Riker says. And Wesley goes, it wasn't me. I swear it wasn't me. And Picard goes, what's happening? And Riker goes, Data, what's happening? And that's when Wesley says that we're at 9.3. And Geordi goes, this isn't good, Captain. Who's in charge? We were still realigning the engines. That's what Geordi says. So we shouldn't be going so fast. Glitch 9.1. And then it's there at 9.3. They're like, Data, WTF, what are you doing? And then alert goes out that says, hey, there's stuff on the bridge. You got to exit the bridge, all humans, mammals. And they must have the drills because they go everybody to turbo lifts 2, 3, and 4. But they don't know Data's glitching, so they leave Data behind. And they just transfer helm to engineering, Geordi. Picard says, reassemble in engineering. Data stays behind, and then Data starts hacking the computer right away. Shady hacking, I put. And they say, can't stop, force fields. They say, Data, what are you up to? Data's up to what? And they can't control, the rest of the Enterprise crew can't control the ship. Everything's locked out, and then they say, Data, can you hear me? Data, Lieutenant Commander, and then Data really starts hacking the ship. He does the Alpha 1, Data, computer recognized Data, Lieutenant Commander, Alpha 1 clearance, And it says turn off, you know, all subspace communication because I'm going to be up to some real shady stuff now. And then we're down in engineering. Everybody says, let's separate the saucer then. We don't know what's going on with data, but we should, if we separate the saucer, we should get control back. And then we'll go back and get the saucer with data and then fix everything. Meanwhile, Data's hacking it as Picard. He says, recognize Picard Jean-Luc Alpha 2 clearance, priority clearance Alpha 2. Cancel everything. I'm in charge. And no one knows what to do. Oh, dear. That's what they say. J14 Baker. That's something. And he said, is that another Sherlock Holmesian reference? Riker and Worf are trying to take the Jeffries tubes to sneak in on data. They say, Jesus, he reinverted the environmental control sequencer. And I say, what? Data's in the big chair. Turns off the site-to-site transporter. Somebody tries to do that. Or they try to do that. Data has other plans. And Data puts force fields up so nobody can get anywhere. Then we have Beverly talking to the kids about the downsides of April Fool's Day. Yeah, the kid that was trick-or-treated, and she says, take a deep breath and drink the water. And I think this is when Troy's trying to get him to apologize to his brother. And, you know, they're trying to get there, too. What kind of something can Dr. Crusher... What kind of something can Dr. Crusher and then rub the kid's hair? Let's see what he says. I don't like getting... She says, take a deep breath. Have you been drinking all the water? Yep. And she says, well, it's going to take us a little while to be there, so get your spirit up. What kind of grenadine can... Dr. Crusher rubs hair, so I don't know what that means. Then Data cements over ride sharing site to site. Then he starts, he can't go site to site, so then he has to walk. So he says, prepare to activate Cascade force field sequence following progression. And they're still trying to, in engineering, they say, we can't get control, we're stuck. O'Brien says Data's up to something. He's moving. They can't even use the computers for simple math. They say, you know, computer, what's 4 plus 8 times 50? And the computer says, I'm not authorized to do math for you. Then Data puts in this code as Picard, 17346732147 6, Charlie or Chanto. 327-89-777-643 Tango, 732 Victor, 7311-7888-732-476, 789-764-376 Lock. A lot of sevens in there. And then Data is en route. Force fields are being used to keep everybody from catching up with Data. Oh, I didn't look this up. I said, how do you know the aft from the port on a starship? I mean, I don't know it on my own body. Then Data reaches a transporter room. And Riker and O'Brien are waiting there. But Data moves one field out. Data has them force fielded. They try to bust him, but he says he has them force fielded and does a site to site transport. It goes to a jungle type planet. Looks like there's a science lab on there. And there's a bunch of Tesla coil stuff in the science lab. Orgiter balls and beakers. I don't know what that meant. Maybe origami balls and there's beakers, of course, as there are in all science labs. Plant parts, carvings, and then this holy Spiner. This is give me a load of Spiner episode. So we get a lot of Brent Spiner. starting now as an older person in a Yoda-like role. He said, that looks like a familiar figure. It's Brent Spiner, that's why. He puts a screwdriver in Data's mouth, says, let me do some screwdriving around inside your mouth and tune you up. And then confident, careful Data, something about an exosuit, too. Or there was an exosuit in the room somewhere, which I said, that's interesting. Oh, this is confused Data. And then he says, holy Yoda. Then he tries to call the Enterprise. He's like, I can't call the Enterprise. And they say, we've got a block diffuser aversion or something. Or maybe those are things I saw, like a diffuser, a block like diffuser. Yeah, something that starts with an A. Some weird rock. Something to check encounter cloud. Then he checks Data's vision, and it places him more like a part lab, part museum, part toy shop. Then Data says, who are you? Were you the one? Also, there's a chalkboard with a theory on it. They didn't investigate that either. They talk about the crystalline entity. Because he says, are you my father figure? I thought the crystalline entity took you to another place. Data, he's amazed. He goes, is it real you? Then Geordi finds a clue or not. Because they said, that's what I wrote. Geordi finds a clue or not. Got me on Britta. But let me see, because it's coming up here. What I see in the thing. Data's amazed. He says, Dr. Noonien Sung. I presume. He goes, no, Watson, it's Holmes. Data's trying to, the exosuit's behind Data. Data's trying to call him, checking Data's thing. There's a rock spinner. Maybe that was one of the things I couldn't read. Like a rock clock. Oh, he's the one that says, do I look familiar to you? Like you're me with a ton of makeup on. Really good acting, by the way, by Brent Spiner. Yeah, there's a little bit of a museum atmosphere. He goes, this is your lucky day, Data. He goes, you found your long-lost father. He goes, what do you think about that? Data goes, does that compute? He goes, I always had a way out, Data. Okay, so Geordi says, Captain, what about the quarantine field in the med units? He goes, that's still running. Maybe we could use that for something or use its power. Divert the field energy, he says, to use it to cancel the force field protecting the bridge. And Picard says, well, let's see what we can do. Then we see the kid, one of the two brothers. He has on a double turtleneck. I don't know if I've ever seen that. They say, don't raise your arm. Oh, Groucho, that was a joke from Groucho Marx, the Beverly shares. Like, it bothers me when I raise my arm. And it says, don't raise your arm. Great Bedside Manner, I think, yeah. Because she says, don't stand up. And it's kind of hard to stand up where the kid is anyway. But yeah, she has a good bedside manner. She needs a They do need a dash of Troy in there, though. And then Worf makes it to the bridge, but he doesn't have Alpha 2 clearance to do anything. And they say she's really, really off course. And the security code is like 8,000 numbers. Geordi was afraid that something like that would happen. And then the sensors are operative. They see that there's a base down there, that there's a human. Then they see there's something else flying in, a double question mark. Then we go back to Data, who's rubbing his tummy and patting his head at the same time. Something about old Tom Hardy, not the actor, double question mark. He's whistling. Then trimming plants. The doctors or doctors' unions. Dr. Sung is trimming plants. He's still in Yoda mode, saying plants to trim. I am. He has a play T-Rex that he sets inside of a physical bones of a T-Rex. And he says, why the heck did you join? I thought you were going to be a scientist like me. Why'd you join Starfleet? Some Lake Enterprise. I don't know what that means. What a choice. What choice? I love Data. He says, I could use him. What choice of vocation would have pleased you, met with your approval? And he said, you wanted me to follow in your footsteps, as it were. And then Data says, why'd you create me anyway? What do you think? Let's see, Sung's saying, you were quite a celebrity in cybernetic circles. Why Starfleet? And Data answers, sir. He goes, I gave you the ability to do whatever you wanted. Why would you choose that? Typical patriarch. And Data said, Starfleet officers were the ones that came and got me. And Sung says, so you wanted with Stockholm Syndrome. How disappointing. But Data totally without, he says, what would have made you happy, dude? And that's what he says, following my footsteps, become a scientist, get straight A's, make me happy. Follow in your footsteps, as the word Data says. And he says, I see nothing wrong with that. And then Data says, can I ask you a question? What the heck? Why'd you create me? Why don't I get any feelings? And Sung says, the old scriptures in the marble quote, that one. The old sculptures in the marble quote. He goes, why does a painter paint? Why does a dancer dance? Because you could see the sculptures in the marble. That's what Michelangelo used to say. I did it because I could, my need to try. And then Data says, why do humans love all the silly old stuff, like antiques, Nuvian, I don't know what that was, this old town, this old house type stuff, something about a shrine to be cherished, why, a tie to the past, why that, mortal sense of continuity that gives life's meaning, And I said, Jesus, does it only run backwards or forwards? Like procreation. And did human to children give humans immortality? Then he gives Data face pat and the hone rolls in. Lore hone. It looked like hone, but it's lore. Lore rolls in boots. At least to me, because it's my first sighting of lore and a totally odd outfit. And it's like a family reunion time. And so then Sung starts working on Lore's mouth. And he says, a maniacal android. And then Data, we see that Data's kind of like he says, tattling. He's trying to tattle on his brother. He says, Lore's total, totally trouble. And he was aligned with the crystalline entity. Gained its favor and took you out, Papa. And he said to his Data to shush, not to tell on his brother. He gets the lore activated. And this is my favorite part of the episode, is Spiner's lore. Because the lore kind of jumps up. Sung kind of says, calm down, buddy. Lore gets this wild smile. He goes, Papa, you're still alive. This is at 28 minutes when he's really shining, really worth watching. And he even gives a little snarl and a sour face. Says, thanks to you, dear brother. He goes, thanks for nothing, attentive or something. No affirmative. He goes, I tried to get data back here, not you, but he goes, you must have the same homing signal. I didn't even know you were put together. And Laura says, you know, I'm going to hit the road, leave you with your beloved son. He goes, you know, I was just hanging out in space solo, and then a pack-led trade ship picked me up. Oh, and Data says, I have no alternative. Laura, it was through the Enterprise. And Lord says, you know, that's what he says. Lord says, I'm a third wheel. He goes, I'm headed out somewhere. I don't know. Too big is what I put. But that's probably not what he said. And the guy says, well, if you got any questions, Lord goes into the dentist. You look fine. I don't know what that means. But he says, I got to go to the dentist. And Laura goes, your teeth look great. And then we go back to Enterprise. Worf's lays out with detail. He says, we can't get the code. Can't pretend we're Data, so we don't know what to do. Then we get back to Laura, who's in a bad mood. Of course, you know, typical. And let's see, typical. I'm headed to big. Oh, he says, hey, I'm headed to Big Farm, Lore. Then I still say, oh, Lore goes into denial. That's not what goes to the dentist. You look fine. I just had to figure that out. But then Lore's annoyed. You had to do what you had to do. He goes, just because I was malfunctioning, you had to take me apart. And they say, well, geez, everybody was envious of Laura because he was so human. And they said, not everyone. He says, Laura told me that you wanted to replace him with a less perfect android. Is that true, Papa? I'm a less perfect android? And he goes, you two are identical except for... a little programming, a.k.a. emotions. Laura spins the dentist chair around. Oh, that's when we see the laser and something wheel. Laser and something wheel. He says, am I less perfect than Laura? There's also a Tesla coil that looks like a pencil in the background. I'm not less perfect than Laura Data states. Laura says, why don't you just fix me up instead of taking me apart? Just give me less emotions or something. And at some point, Laura sits down and sulks. He sits down on a stock or something and sulks. But I look at Laura's nuances entangled. I am not less perfect than Lore. I am not less perfect than Lore. And he says, both of you sit down. And Sung says that. He says, come on, let's work this out. Lore's kind of wearing moving blankets the more I look at him. He sits on a stool and sulks. And Sung says, geez, I really wished I were programmed to both correctly. He goes, Laura, you were beyond nuance. Your emotions were too complex, but they turned and twisted, became entangled with ambition. And he goes, I didn't know you were sitting out there waiting for me. And he goes, I didn't know I could bring you back. It was, you know, mistake, simple mistake. And he goes, I knew Data worked. And he goes, right now I have an emotion chip. Birdhouse. Well, there's also a birdhouse over Data's shoulder. And the doctor's going to build a little birdhouse in his soul, not to put too fine a pine on it. But he has this emotion thing, simple emotions, nothing too complex. Something taming light, Lorcan, 3450. Oh, this is good stuff. He says something, Laura can relate to feelings. Laura can relate to Data, who says to his brother, feelings can do funny things. You might even learn to understand your brother. I forgive you. I'm happy for you. And Data says, I question your sincerity. And, of course, Papa's got to get involved because you might be more trusting of your brother if you had some feelings. Right to be bitter, somebody says. If only there was time for you, Lore. You'll learn to be more trusting, Data. Your brother had good reason to be bitter. Well, that's what Sung says. And Data still wants to go by the book. He says, yeah, you know, Lore didn't give the chance you and I had to get to make all his choices, but now he understands why I did it. If only there was more time. He goes, "With simple." He goes, this is a simple procedure, but I got to take a nap. So I tried for a smarmy smile, something. So tired. Lore gives a smarmy smile, I think. Let me see. I'm watching it here. As Papa goes to bed. And, you know, see, here we go. Yeah, Lore's up to something. He says, oh, don't worry, dear brother. There's episode 8. Then we're back. Riker's in some sort of recall loop with Geordi and Worf, where they can pretend they're Data and transport out. Dad's working on giving Data the emo chip. And Data wakes up and he sings this song. He's like laughing. He's beside himself. The sons of the prophet are valiant and bold and quite unaccustomed to fear. But of all, the most reckless, or so I am told, was Abdul Abul Amir. And Data's really over the top. He goes, I love that tune. Thank you, Father. He goes, Father, he goes, what would I prove you call you? Often wrong? He goes, how'd you learn about often wrong? Lore tell you about that? He goes, that's what the Calinists called you. Often wrong soon. Often wrong soon. He goes, it doesn't rhyme the way I'd like it to be. And Soong says, you're acting weird. Then Data says, Soong has a bad heart. He can't tell his boys apart. And we realize, oh no, it's Lore. And he says, well. And Lore starts strutting around, and then Soong says, where's Data? And he says, he has his chapsticks on drum. Sickles, nice try. Well, he picks up a drumstick and starts walking around, or a chopstick. He gets the chopsticks, and he goes, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm doing something. Or no, that's what he says about the chip. He goes, how are you feeling? He goes, I don't know, but it's doing something. And he goes, it's definitely over the top, whatever it is. And then Lore says, I get hit the road. He opens up his thumb. He has a transporter button right on his thumb. After he gives his father a head start to the big farm. Then we see Worf, Riker, and Geordi arrive at the station. And they come in. They find Soong. Seems like he's in Soong City. That's what I put. I don't know what that means. Worf picks up Data, cradles him, right? Data was in the back sleeping. Riker's like, WTF, Data, what in the heck is going on? And Data goes, I don't know. I don't remember. Did something happen? He goes, yeah, you totally messed up everything. And Data goes, I don't recall that. And Dr. Soong is about to go out. He goes, you know, activate memory chip 45517. And he says, I couldn't tell you apart, so I gave the chip to, and then Riker says, damn it, Data. And then they say, Lore. And then Data gives too much exposition. He goes, we got to go, man. Then he says, check your third nested memory file, 5155. He goes, sorry, I didn't know, And they go, Data, we got to roll. Oh, Data, because Data says, sorry, I didn't know I messed everything up. He goes, I got to say goodbye to the Dr. Soong before he goes to the big farm. I was unaware of causing an inconvenience. And so Data says goodbye alone with a WTF look. Says everybody's got to go to the big farm at some point, Data. Eventually, well, almost everybody. And Data says, well, do you believe we're in the like in some way, sir? Because then you'll, you know, live on through me in many ways, he says. And he goes, then it's okay for you to go to the big farm because I'll be here living, L-I-V-I-N. And then Soong touches Data's face like a papa. He goes, I can't grieve for you, by the way, not in my systems, maybe in that chip Delore took. He goes, you will in your own way. Data says, goodbye, father. Then he says, goodbye, Data. And that's it. Data gives a WTF look. Data says, goodbye, father, second. Where's the WTF look? I'm waiting for that. Maybe I missed it. Then we're back, you know, Captain's Log, Picard and Crusher talk, and the boys are playing, they're playing Dino Runaround, where one of them runs around, and they say, you know what happens with brothers? Brothers forgive. That's how it works out. And they played, and then the, after she says that, there's a close-up of Data's face, like, dun, dun, dun. I've never played Robot or Dino Runaround with my brother. And it was a gift from Data. I didn't realize that until just now. So he must have taken them from his dad's place. They're dino toys that were his dad's. And, yeah, there you go. It's a big zoom into Data. Brothers forgive. Bum, bum, bum. And then to run through some facts, there's the Emmett Otter Jug Band song, Brothers. It goes, how much alike are we? Perhaps we're long-lost brothers. We even think the same. You know, there may be others. We can always use a friend. This family keeps on growing. This family doesn't have to end. Brothers, brothers. So many things to learn, but we'll enjoy each lesson. Problems don't worry us when half the fun is guessing. Live a lifetime of surprise. We'll all become musicians and leave wonder in their eyes. Brothers, brothers. So that's from Emmett Otter's Jug Band, Christmas song, Brothers. Then there's an article by Chris Higgins from September 20th, 2015, Mental Floss, How to Start Eights Work. And we hear a lot, Captain Picard's birthday, by the way, is 47457.1. The weird thing is that that is either the equivalent of June 16th, November 4th, January 8th, or January 10th, depending on how you count. In original, it says, according to this article, they weren't real. They were basically winging it, pitching any combination of four numbers plus a percentage point to use it as a star date. And they weren't thought up very well, but then they were too deep. So it was a moving train, you know, laying down the things. And they said, oh, you know, velocity and time travel. But in Next Generation, things were more consistent. The showrunners devised a sensible formula with a reasonable level of continuity. It's a five-digit number followed by a decimal point and one more digit. The first two digits are always 41. The 4 stands for the 24th century, and the 1 indicates the first season. The additional 3 leading digits will progress unevenly during the course of the season from 000 to 999. Kind of like a day counter. Oh, no, the digit following the decimal point is a day counter. It's interesting, though, the season is 1,000 days. It's a good thing they were on a continuing mission rather than a 5-year one. And Deep Space Nine and Voyager continued using it, and movie Star Trek Nemesis also used it. And sometimes they goof, like when Tasha Yar went to the big farm, it was 41601.3. But in an earlier episode, she was around at 41,997.7. Yeah, by 92, the rules were ironclad. Five-digit number, decimal point, and one more digit. First two digits of star date are 46. So 4 stands for 24th century 6, the 6th season. And the following three digits will progress consecutively during the course of the season. And the digit is counts tenths of a day. So 0.4 would be the noon hour. So a little bit more about it. And I think J.J. Abrams even used it, but that's a deep enough dive. What about the game Laser Tag? They play it in the future, and they played it in the past, even in the long past of my life. It's been a while since I played it, but can be fun to play when you're... it started in the 70s for practice, using lasers and infrared lights. They were first used as Star Trek merch in 1979. And then in 82, George Carter III had an arena-based system for scoring a game. And that was the Photon Center in Dallas, Texas. It opened in March 28th, 1984. And then in 86 was when the first Photon toys and laser tag toys hit from two competing companies. Laser Tag also made, was from Worlds of Wonder that made a Teddy Ruxpin. And they only stayed in business until 88, and then Photon went out of business in 89 as the fad of the games wore off. But there's still at arcades and stuff places you can play laser tag indoors and outdoors. It could be a fun game. Like, it's like hide and seek, but you don't have to tag the people. So it's, tagging with lasers. Now, how about force fields? This is over at Memory Alpha Wiki. It's an energy barrier with applications and varying degrees of strength. They'd been used for many years, but Starfleet didn't start it until 2147. It's a stable EM barrier, Malcolm Reed said. In 2152, they still hadn't found a method for controlling the particle density. But they use it sometimes in Star Trek Enterprise. By 24th century, they were commonplace and rated by intensity from 1 to 10. The level 10 was the strongest, it could protect you from almost everything. Like, even creating, that's how they create the holograms, I guess, or even protect breaches in the halls. The effect of a force field on surroundings varies greatly. Contact could not always feel so great, but most weren't too much trouble. If it was active, an object or a transporter beam couldn't pass through it, though not always the case. They couldn't slow the Borg down. Let's see. But a Borg drone could be cut off from the collective by a level 10 shield. They could be activated from various locations on star ships. There was emitter points at every junction along every corridor. And they could run a cascade thing like Data ran. Let's see. They could scan a series of force field activations based on movement. And you didn't want to get stuck in the middle of one, but it wouldn't be the end of the world. It'd just not be great. So it's a little bit about it. Nothing too much about the tech. There's containment fields, structural fields. I guess there is a lot more about it, but it's just kind of a brief overview. About force fields. How about our friend Brent Spiner, who really did a wonderful job? Born in February 2nd, 49. Was in the 4 subsequent films, won the Swiss Saturn Award for Best Actor for his portrayal as Data in First Contact. Also was in the same category for his role in Independence Day. He was born in Houston, Texas. Went to Bel Air High, University of Houston. Started in off-Broadway in the 70s and in Broadway. Three Musketeers, Sunday in the Park with George, Stardust Memories. He was in the second season episode of The Paper Chase, the TV show. He was also on Night Court as Bob Wheeler, patriarch of a rural family. He was in a revival of Twilight Zone, Mama's Family, Rent Control, Cheers. Then in 87, he started his 15-year run portraying Lieutenant Commander Data. He appeared in all of the series of but one, 178 episodes. He wasn't in Family. He reprised his role in spin-off films as Generations, First Contact, Insurrection, Nemesis. Although billed as the final Star Trek movie for the TNG cast, it's possible he could return. He likes childlike innocence. Let's see, an edition of films. He's voiced in video games. In 91, Spiner recorded an album of 1940s pop standards called Old Yellow Eyes is Back. He also returned to Broadway in 97, playing John Adams in 1776, nominated for a Tony Award. He's appeared on tons of series, TV series, movies, including Introducing Dorothy Dandridge. Let's see. He also, 2004, returned to play Dr. Soong. Arik Soong, ancestor of Data's creator, Noonien Soong, in a three-episode arc of Enterprise. Let's see. He guest starred on Friends. Was on a short-lived TV show called Threshold. It was in the 10th season of Frasier. So he really has a wide career, beloved and wonderful actor. I mean, that's really only show really relied on him to pull that off. And then Groucho Marx, who lived from October 1890 to 1977, made 13 feature films with the siblings and Marx brothers. He was the third in the birth order. He was also on You Bet Your Life. He had brought his distinctive appearance from vaudeville with his eyebrows, his mustache, his cigar, and his glasses. He's born in Manhattan, above a butcher shop at Lexington Third. And let's see, what else? We'll try to entry-level office work. Let's see when they started. Marx claimed that he was hopelessly average as a vaudevillian, but this was typical Marx, wisecracking in his true form. By 1907, many Marx had assembled their sons into an undistinguished vaudeville singing troupe known as the Four Nightingales. And Julius and Milton, a.k.a. Gummo, and Arthur, and Lou, they didn't do good. And then they started just joking on stage, and it turned out they were funnier, better singers, better jokers than singers. Groucho made 26 movies, 13 of those with his brothers, Chico and Harpo. He was a wisecracking hustler with his distinctive chicken walking lope, his mustache, and all those things. The first movie was in 1921, never released, a silent film. They made their Broadway hits, Coconuts and Animal Crackers, into movies. Those were originally Broadway shows. Also, Monkey Business, Horse Feathers, Duck Soup, and A Night at the Opera. Marx was also a radio comedian and show host. a short-lived series of Flywheel, Shyster, and Flywheel, co-starring his brother Chico. Those were all lost, so all the scripts and recordings. But one is in the Library of Congress. Started the You Bet Your Life on 1947 on radio. Then it moved to TV in 1950, filmed before a live studio audience. He also did a lot of well-known songs from movies and shows. Because it had come up in the episode, he was friends with rock star Alice Cooper and Dick Cavett, also Elton John, but he insists on calling him John Elton. So it's just a little bit about Groucho Marx. I thought it was interesting. And then finally, Nuvian came up, which is a race of humanoids with 12 fingers on each hand. And, they were registered masseuses on Risa, which would be good. You get a massage from someone with 24 fingers would work pretty well. So that's it. Just imagine getting a 24-finger massage as you drift off to dreamland. Good night. I want to thank our latest patrons, Grant, Constance, and Pamela. Thanks, and good night. Carrie, Megan, and E. Thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Emma, and Kate. Thanks, and good night. Laura, Amy, and Kevin. Thanks, and good night. Rachel, AJ, and Super Double. Thanks, and good night. Annie, Greg, and Jennifer. Thanks, and good night. Debbie, Shira, and Elizabeth, thanks, and good night. Jer TV, Jared, and Caleb, thanks, and good night. Brett, Katiana, and Brendan, thanks, and good night. Melisandra, Shibin, and Cation, thanks, and good night. Constance, Sawyer, and Alistair, thanks, and good night. Heather, Christine, and Mary, thanks, and good night. Buddy, Christina, and Mallory, thanks, and good night. Steersworn, Salen, and Shannon, thanks, and good night. Kenneth, Lusnak, and Tammy, thanks, and good night. Greg, Linda, and Hannah, thanks, and good night. Nathan, Jennifer, and Ann, thanks, and good night. Hannah, Kathleen, and Mark, thanks, and good night. Helene, Sam, and Hannah, thanks, and good night. Gail, Kelly, and Audrey, thanks, and good night. Nessie, Bertha, and Cassandra, thanks, and good night. Katrina, Andrew, and Megan, thanks, and good night. Kelly, Gail, and the Lane family, thanks, and good night. Eleanor, Sally, and Walter, thanks, and good night. Lindsay P, and Donald, thanks, and good night. Alice, Grace, and Kim, thanks, and good night. Thalia, Benjamin, and Heidi, thanks, and good night. Carly, Sab, and Shane, thanks, and good night. Julie, Steve, and Aaron, thanks, and good night. Blair, Allison, and Jade, thanks, and good night. Lauren, Emily, and Michael, thanks, and good night. Nicole W, Nicole K, and Valerie, thanks, and good night. Ellen, Kelly, and Evan, thanks, and good night. Jason, Lorraine, and Mary E, thanks, and good night. Rebecca, Katie, and Fiona, thanks, and good night. Amy, Tony, and Beth, thanks, and good night. And Jennifer, Tanya, and Nun, thank you, good night. Thanks everybody for supporting the show on Patreon. If you want to do so, you could go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/patron. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents and PRX. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com or prx.org. Thanks, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my weeks in review stuff, what was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media, and so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But yeah, like this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.